Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ahoy, one and all. It's Vivi, a.k.a. Villavol, and at the moment you have the pleasure of being tuned in to Side Gems with Brian Riesman.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Riesman, host of Side Gems, the show where we talk to musicians about their outside passions and their hobbies. And today we have one of my favorite goth bands of the modern era, Twin Tribes, Luis Navarro and Joel Nino Jr.
Hey, thanks for having us, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's great to chat with you. I know I've written about your music, but I haven't had a chance to see you yet. I missed you in New York because of COVID. Thanks so much. And yeah. You guys have really been blowing up lately, man. I mean, Cruel World, Darker Waves. You're going to tour Europe this year now. It's 2024.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. We're really trying to play as much as we can behind the new album.
Yeah. Again, Europe, Latin America, Mexico. Hopefully we get some dates back up there soon, and of course US.
Yeah, considering your heritage too, I think it's important to play Mexico.
Yes.
You know, and I love the fact that, you know, I mean, your videos, you obviously play on the goth conventions, but you have like the new one, Monolith, is inspired by 2001, you know, I noticed, and the white room that's in there at the end of the film, and you also have Heart and Feather, I think that's out in the desert.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Lots of white, and then Phantasmus, which is the first one that I saw, very David Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I also like.
Yeah.
And today, of course, we're going to talk about your love of wrestling, which I think is interesting.
Yes.
Something that I think both of us have a kind of a shared passion in.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's been a lifelong thing with you guys, the whole wrestling thing?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was like on and off. I got into wrestling when I was like 11 or 12, maybe, you know, the whole Attitude Era and WWF at the time. And I stopped. Then I, you know, got into wrestling later. And I've been keeping up every now and then and stuff.
Yeah, same. Like I grew up during like that, you know, Attitude Era, WWF, kind of WCW. I remember some of my earliest memories as a kid was watching Lucha Libre and watching like La Parca and Triple A like on Sundays. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, for people who don't know, Lucha Libre is Mexican wrestling where they're masked and they have very colorful costumes. It's not just simply, I mean, they already have American wrestling, but there's something extra theatrical about it.
Yeah.
It's theatrical, like, a lot. It's a different style of wrestling. It's like more like a aerial,
very high flying.
Mm-hmm. Different from what you'll see here.
Yeah, it's totally different. I went to a house show, a smaller show of Lucha Libre, and you know, we live like 5 minutes across to Mexico, like right on the border. So I went to go see a random match that was like Ninja Turtles against the Power Rangers. So it was like freaking crazy.
Yeah.
When are you going to see that?
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
So literally they were in the costumes of those characters.
Yeah. Yeah. They were wearing the full costumes and they were just going all out at each other.
Man, I
missed
that.
That's
great. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, over the years, I think I've only ever interviewed two wrestlers. I interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is back in the 2000s. And there's Chris Jericho, who obviously has the band Fozzy.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That's one of my, like, favorite wrestlers, if not the favorite wrestler. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Jericho.
What do you love about him?
I like how he was a smaller guy. You know, he wasn't like this big, bulky guy that kind of came out of, a lab, you know, like Hulk Hogan. The day was like Hulk Hogan and all these like just giant beasts. But Chris Jericho was like a smaller guy, technical wrestler. He's always reinvented himself when it comes to wrestling. Like he'll never kind of stay the same. And just his charisma, the way he talks on the mic, just one of the best wrestlers, like I think ever.
Has he done any wrestling recently? Has he come back at all and appeared?
Yeah, yeah. He's been in AEW, I think one of the newer promotions that's out there. But like direct competitors like WWE, I think they're probably the second biggest one in the U.S., yeah.
And Luis, what about you? Who do you really love in the wrestling world?
Well, I've recently been rewatching because that period that I stopped watching wrestling, I've been rewatching all that, which is around 2002, and okay. it's been awesome. It's like it must have been a really fun time to be a wrestling fan around that time. So I've just been rewatching a lot of Attitude Era stuff, or now Ruthless Aggression Era. I do watch mostly like newer pay-per-views or like recent pay-per-views. The Royal Rumble is a must, WrestleMania. We actually went to the Royal Rumble.
Right? Yeah, I went to Royal Rumble in San Antonio this past one.
How was that?
That was amazing.
Amazing. Besides the drinks that were like basically $50 each. it was really cool. Like, yeah, it was... And it was in the Alamo Dome, so it's like this older, where I think the Spurs used to play there. Mm-hmm. It was cool, man. So cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
I never associated wrestling with goth. I never really thought about that before. But I guess it's the same sense of theatricality, just in a different way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, if you really think about wrestling, some of like the biggest characters were goth. I mean, The Undertaker, was... Yeah. One of the biggest Sting, when he was like the Crow, he had like the crowish looking makeup. These were some of the biggest characters in wrestling, personas, I would say. And even in Lucha Libre, they had Vampiro. They had there's a guy called that was in Mexico. That's U.S. Gangrel. It was like a vampire, a group of vampires, which is Gangrel. Yeah. They're called the Brood.
Yeah.
So it's there, like those elements are there.
That's true.
And it's a performance, right? It's just athletic performance, right? As us, it's more musical performance, but it's a performance nonetheless.
Yeah.
Have you found a lot of goths that are into wrestling?
I think that everywhere we go, if he's wearing an AEW shirt, they're like, yeah,
yeah,
it's badass,
yeah.
Or Chris Jericho shirt, or yeah, there's wrestling fans everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. It, again, it's one of those things where it can transcend, I guess, types of people.
Yeah. We dressed up as the NWO, this past Halloween, and I did a little video, and people were saying like, that's like the coolest like mashup like ever. Like this Scott Ben at the end of it. Amazing.
That was a good fun time.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's definitely I can see the crossover. I mean, I feel like there's a touch of goth everywhere right now. Obviously, the mainstream will always credit Crib the look. I mean, people talk about Billie Eilish being goth, and she's not. There's definitely that kind of sensibility in some of her videos and her attitude, but the mainstream doesn't always properly identify it. And it's always tricky because, like, even when I was doing that goth piece for Grammy, there's certain bands like Nightclub that are sort of goth adjacent to me, but they still kind of fit, the overall vibe. But then there are other groups that definitely aren't in there. But it is interesting that the Wednesday Addams thing happened, and you are seeing a bit of a goth trend. I mean, I got into goth in the 90s, and it feels like we're starting to get that. We're getting that 90s revival now. So hopefully we'll start seeing more of that coming about.
Sure.
Definitely.
When did you guys first get into goth?
For me, it was, I was like, I don't know, like 16 or 17 years old. And I went to Mexico, and there was like a goth club. And it was very popular for people to just go across. And that's where I heard The Cure and New Order and Depeche Mode for the first time. And okay. That's kind of like when I really got into it. But I was very young. I grew up and I, went through a bunch of different genres. And it wasn't until like, maybe 2017 or 2016 when I kind of got into the genre again, and I started, re-listening to these artists with a whole different set of ears, I guess.
Yeah, and for me, like, I was first introduced to them, my sister had, like, this briefcase, like a suitcase of cassettes back in the day, right? You'd have like the suitcase and rows of cassettes. And she had like a best of the 80s in there. So that's the first time I listened to like The Cure or and Depeche Mode, right? She had like a best of the 80s in there. So, you know, that was the first time I was introduced to it. And I think, you know, just throughout, like Luis mentioned, like different genres, like that sort of kind of goth mentality was kind of there. It wasn't maybe 80s goth, but it was kind of there in like this, what do they used to call it? Like the metal, I used to listen to metal, screamo or whatever. So that mentality was there, although not entirely purely goth. But yeah, you know, like Luis, you know, he mentioned kind of like revisiting it at a later age. And of course you listen to it with newer ears. You're not so young. You kind of listen to a lot of stuff. So you get to enjoy it a lot more.
So like, you know, of course, the always thing that always comes up with us who aren't really, don't really know that much about wrestling is the idea of how much is real and how much is fake, which I'm sure always comes up.
Sure.
When you chat with people. And yet at the same time, I remember watching the Mickey Rourke film, The Wrestler, which seemed to indicate that like there was the minor leagues were more real than the majors. Almost like you actually, the minor leagues were more, the minor leagues were more real than the majors. And so you kind of, you worked your way up and it was less dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, anything else, like that's why they call it professional wrestling, right? As you get to the higher levels, of course, everybody is much better at what they do. They're much better at protecting, you know, their partner that they're, you know, whoever they're in the ring with. So of course, like, there's less chance of injury, but you know, this, you still get the same toll on the bodies, right? Like it's physical, like, you know, it may be, I hear fake, of course, as a wrestling fan, it's just like, you know, you know, it's choreographed. Right. Like, yes, you know, like maybe you might know the finish, but, you know, the bumps that you take, like the hits that you get when you fall on the floor, that you get thrown off of a cage, like that stuff's real.
The chops,
yeah. Like you get red bloodied across the chest, like, you know, all that's like a true toll on the body. But yeah.
Have you seen like a lot of sort of the other, like the sort of what ways when you sort of like the minor leagues, I guess, of wrestling, is that actually more violent, do you think, than some of the major stuff?
I would say so.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I've only seen, you know, like some very, very small, like local shows or the, you know, the bigger ones like, you know, WWE right now. Never seen like a, that in between yet, but what I've seen of like, you know, the minors, it's very DIY, you know, it's very DIY and it's like anything can go. It's very entertaining though. It's very, very interactive with the crowd. That's what makes it very entertaining.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we're talking about wrestling and of course we do the music thing, like there's a direct correlation as to like how you come up in the business. Like you can, like those minor leagues, like those local shows, all of the wrestlers, most of them that you see nowadays have come up through these circuits, right? Of little pockets of wrestling, I guess, promoters in their areas. Yeah. And even back in the day, they had their own wrestling territories. And that's how they would kind of like pick and choose like the best ones to make like the professional ones, the ones that are going on TV. So yeah, as a direct correlation there, like you struggle and you get, you make your way to the top, and that's exactly what a band does, you know?
Yeah. The same thing about like, you know, finding a place to sleep or, you know, same struggles.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very similar.
Being on the road, you know, maybe sometimes you got to collect your coins and get something to eat, or, you know, you eat where you can, sleep where you can. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever played any wrestling matches?
No.
Goals.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. We've always talked about it. I mean, I think one of my dreams is for like some like really cool wrestler to use one of our songs as their entrance music. Like that would be super sick.
Yeah.
But no, we've never played an event.
Have there ever been any goth songs that were used as entrance themes?
Goodness.
I don't know about goth, but like some metal songs or, you know, post-hardcore, bands
yeah.
have made it there. Like, I know Rhea Ripley has the guy from Motionless in White,
yeah,
you know, sing her song. You know, yeah. Triple H had Motorhead.
Truly, yeah, Triple H had Motorhead. I think CM Punk has Living Color, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the name of the band. But yeah. I think like goth, I don't think so, that I can think of, right?
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's gothic themes, like we mentioned The Brood earlier. That's super gothic. The Undertaker is like, it's like a, like one of those bells, like ding, mm-hmm. ding.
Metal has always kind of made a natural fit for wrestling. I mean, but then like, metal and goth both make a natural fit for horror movies. And I got this collection like 20 years ago, the Aztec Mummy Collection, which is, these are Mexican films that I think the fourth one is like Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy. So there was some crossover there.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Very cool.
These are unusual because they're low budget, but you know, Mexico obviously had its own cinema. I mean, we were talking about it just before we got on, the idea that there's movies like El Vampiro and The Curse of the Crying Woman, La Llorona, and stuff like that, where a lot of legends, and it's been interesting to watch that stuff. Do you guys watch vintage wrestling stuff? I mean, do you go back, do you go on YouTube and other places, and do you look for like older wrestling matches? Are you kind of curious about the earlier history?
Oh, definitely.
Is that a thing?
Definitely, yeah. Yes. I've been doing that. I actually got a chance to see, I've been, you know, watching older stuff. Every now and then, I'll look like at a WCW pay per view that I'd never seen. So mm-hmm. I got to see this match. It was Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero.
Oof.
And like later, I learned that was like one of like their fucking greatest matches.
Yeah.
Really. So,
I just watched it by accident. I think it was it was Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, it was.
Right? Yeah. And it was just it's so cool to watch old wrestling matches. It's so badass.
Yeah, that's when Rey Mysterio, I think he had like the purple outfit. Yeah. But yeah, you know, there's, you know, sometimes you'll find something on YouTube, but you know, a lot of like the old matches you can only watch through tapes, like of the old days. And it's pretty cool when you get to see some of that stuff. Sometimes somebody will upload it and it's really, really cool to see. You mentioned the movies earlier, that collection of movies from Mexico. One of like the biggest movie stars was El Hijo del Santo, right? Yeah,
he's a wrestler.
And he was a wrestler. He had a bunch of movies. He was like one of the biggest wrestlers. Just like, he's like the Hulk Hogan of Mexico.
Yeah.
So, and so he would come out in all these movies and I would watch this as a kid and he, I think there's one where he fights zombies. Like it's very, very weird. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. It's super interesting. But yeah, like the old stuff's really cool too. Sometimes I'll go and watch like, matches from like Japan where, you know, wrestlers from here went to Japan and fought their like really popular stars. And those are always really cool too.
What is it about wrestling that really lured you in? What is it about that sport particularly that you guys love?
I guess for me, it was as a kid, it's just very cool to watch the entrances, you know, the songs and the whole attitude movement of just suck it, saying suck it to like everything. You're a kid and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, this is badass. It's like rock music and like people beating each other up. And there's tables, ladders, and chairs. It's just like everything. And it's just like a really cool show. It's just, there's like a, you know, a comedy in there. It's funny stuff. And then there's just like really cool matches. I don't know. It's just like, I guess, a mix of everything.
Yeah, and you know, again, for me, like the entrances, like the pomp and circumstance, the larger than life kind of personas. Like when you think of the old wrestling, who do you think of? Like the big personalities, the Hulk Hogan's, the Ultimate Warrior, Ric Flair, and so, you know, all of that is cool to somebody like me who was, you know, super shy. And I was like, well, I could never be, you know, Ric Flair. I could never be Hulk Hogan. I can't, you know, I don't have that, what do you call it? I guess the balls to be like that, you know? So you know, that's why to me as a kid, it's like, wow, that's so freaking cool. And you kind of, it's fun to watch and it's fun to like idolize and try to be, oh, I could be this big, strong wrestler. But again, the correlation there between these big personalities in wrestling and then the big personalities in music, because I also, you know, that's, those are some of my biggest inspirations, Bowie, Prince, you know, or some of those like big personalities, Juan Gabriel in Mexico, like, you know, they have pomp and circumstance, they have the look, they have like this larger than life kind of thing going on. And I always gravitated towards things like that.
Also, I heard something, I don't know if Chris Jericho said this or I can't remember, but a wrestler said that just stood out to me, that like the best characters or the best personas are the ones that use your own personality, but like turned up to like 11 or 12 or like 15.
Exactly.
It's like you're being yourself, but just like very obnoxious, like just crazy. And like you put that to music and it's just like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just very interesting to see both.
I mean, it's something, it's what we do. Mm-hmm. I feel, you mm-hmm. know, like,
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Our personas on like what we are on stage is very different of like who we are here, like talking to you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get that a lot. Like when we're at the merch table or somebody meets us, they're like, oh man, like I was scared of you, Joel, like the way you kind of were up there and, you know, I didn't think you'd be easy to talk to. But yeah, we're very different people from what you see on stage.
And for people who don't know much about Lucha Libre, for like maybe American wrestling fans, what would you tell them about it?
It's great. It's very entertaining. It's a totally different style, like Joel said. And it's not something totally foreign to some, you know, wrestling fans in the U.S. If they've kept up with wrestling in the past, you've seen, you know, some Lucha Libre characters come in. You've seen La Parca, you've seen Psychosis, Rey Mysterio, you've seen the Guerreros. You know, lots of big names. And recently, I think maybe, you know, the last Lucha Libre guy was Místico back in the day. And then I think here his name was, can't remember his name, but Sin Cara.
Sin Cara. Sin Cara, yeah.
So another big Lucha Libre guy, you know, that made his way to the big leagues. So it's a very, very cool, very entertaining style.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it's like, it's very ingrained in the Mexican culture, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, Lucha Libre is like something that's our own. And it's known worldwide, that style of wrestling. You know, some of the most famous wrestlers went to Mexico to wrestle, like Chris Jericho, as we mentioned earlier. You know, like it's just a different style. And then a lot of the Mexican stars also, they went to Japan and they come to the U.S. and they bring their own flair and style. And it's cool because you still see it. Like you mentioned, Místico. There's other guys like Andrade. You know, he's one of the newer ones. But yeah, it's just cool to see and definitely a different experience when you see Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we should talk about for about wrestling that we missed?
Well, if there's any wrestlers out there and you need a song, hit us up.
Yes, wrestling fans, hit us up. You're a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully this reaches a lot of wrestling fans and maybe it'll lead to more of Twin Tribes fans through wrestling. Who knows? That'd be a crazy crossover.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.